Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Pastor Sam here. On Read the Word on Blog Talk Radio. Can't tell I like Blog Talk Radio because it gives us the opportunity to do so many things. Have a place where people can hook up and be a part of this platform. So, today, and in our ministry, I've been studying intercessory prayer and praying, and sitting here at the fireworks tent this morning, I just said I want you to read the book of Acts. So here we go. I'm going to read the book of Acts today, a portion of it, chapters 1 through 10, and just see how the church began its life. Jesus said, come to the earth in his ministry and fulfilled it. And then he said, I'm going to be gone. And if I go, I'll send the Comforter. And he'll be with you. The book of Acts is the record of that. How Jesus went to heaven and the early church began. The early church does not mean the early church buildings like we know it today. It meant the gathering of people, those who were called out of the world into the life of being a Christian. And, of course, just telling the story of the leaders of the early called out ones. And so we're going to study that now together. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, add your blessing to the reading of the word. Everyone who listens today, receive, grow, and be established in your awesome ways. And for what you do, Lord, we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory in Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Now, from time to time, you're going to hear me take a drink of coffee. Because it's really good to drink coffee while you read the Bible. Acts chapter 1. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these, he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days, speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God, and gathering them together, commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And so when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria of the earth. You think about it. Jesus told the disciples, you're going to be witnesses, whole world, stay here. And then he proved himself to them over and over. Verse 9, after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. As they were gazing intently into the sky while he was departing, behold, two men in white stood beside them. And they also said, you men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who's been taken up from you into heaven, come in just the same way as you've watched him go into the heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. That is Peter and John and James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brothers. At that time, Peter stood up in the midst of the brethren. A gathering of about 120 persons was there together. He said, "Brethren, the scriptures had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit foretold by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was counted among us, received his portion in this ministry. Now this man acquired a field for the price of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle and all his bowels gushed out. It became known to all who were living in Jerusalem, so that in their own language the field was called Keldama, that is the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his homestead be made desolate, let no man dwell in it. And his office let another man take." So Peter is doing the human work to fill that office. But you didn't hear Jesus telling them to do that. Verse 21. "It is therefore necessary that of the men who accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with the baptisms of John until the day that he was taken up from us, one of these should become a witness with us of his resurrection." And they put forward two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. They prayed and said, "Lord, you know the hearts of all men. Show which one of these two thou hast chosen to occupy this ministry and the apostleship, from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they drew lots for them, and the lot fell to Matthias. He was numbered with the 11 apostles. And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. The whole house where they were sitting. Not part of it. I would imagine that on the day of Pentecost, it not only filled the whole house, it filled the whole region, folks. You think about that. The Holy Spirit was coming to this earth to manifest himself with all of his power. Remember, the Holy Spirit is the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Verse 3, "appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance." Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were bewildered, because they were each one hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and marveled, saying, "Why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes. Cretans and Arabs, we hear them in our own tongue, speaking the mighty deeds of God. Can you just imagine? Just let your mind go. How you hear in your own language when you're standing looking at a man that's obviously a Galilean. They were stunned. It's a sign, folks. Beginning in Acts chapter 1, it says, and with many infallible proofs, Jesus revealed himself to them. Verse 12, and they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others were mocking and saying, they are full of sweet wine. Verse 14, Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, men of Judea, all you who live in Jerusalem, all let it be known this day, and give heed to my words. These men are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour out my spirit upon all mankind. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth beneath. Say it with me. Wonders in the sky, signs on the earth. Very interesting. Very, very interesting. Blood and fire, vapor and smoke. Verse 20. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles, wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourself know. This man, delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. And God raised him again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held up in his power. For David says of him, I was always beholding the Lord in my presence, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue exulted. Moreover, my flesh also will abide in hope, because thou wilt not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow thy Holy One undergo decay. Jesus didn't even decay. Interesting God, isn't it? Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou wilt make me full of gladness with thy presence. Verse 29. This is Peter now. We're not quoting the Old Testament. Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. And so because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants upon his throne, he looked ahead and spoke at the resurrection of Christ, that he was neither abandoned to hell nor did his flesh suffer decay. Verse 32. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both also see
and hear. I like it. Our God is a God of seeing and a God of hearing. He's not asking you to blindly believe. He's saying, ask of me. I'll show you a sign. I'll show you a wonder so that you can believe in me. Verse 34. For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make thy enemies a footstool for thy feet. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent. Let each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So then those who had received his word were baptized, and there were added that day 1,000 souls. Verse 42. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. They began selling their property and their possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. And day by day, continually with one mind in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God, favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now, I want to say this about Acts chapter 2. You can see there that it says they were selling their properties and the things they owned and helping those who had nothing. But folks, God's not saying live in communism. That's not what God's saying there. These people had become benevolent givers. And so they were just willing to go and give. Well, let's put two verses of scripture with this. One is Galatians 6:6. Galatians 6:6 says, God will not be mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If you go there to look for it, that is not what Galatians 6:6 says. But it is talking about bearing one another's burden. And it says, let the one who is taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not faint. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Paul is teaching us right here, can't outgive God. Whatever a man sows, that he is also going to reap. And over again, we see in the New Testament people who gave over and over, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. For it is superfluous for me to write to you about this ministry to the saints. For I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the Macedonians, namely that Achaia has been prepared since last year. And so Paul's looking at them all, saying, look at what's going on. in the book of Acts, as Luke is writing Acts, this that we see in these last four or five verses in chapter 2, it's not communism. It's people looking at this thing saying, the bottom line is, you can't outgive God. You can't outgive God Almighty. When you have a chance to give, give. When you have a chance to serve, serve. When you have a chance to love, love. When you have a chance to forgive, forgive. When you have the chance to be a believer, believe. But Pastor, what if God doesn't come through? I can't believe you'd even say that. There's no what if God doesn't come through in this Bible. There's no what if God doesn't come through in the Bible. There's a whole bunch of what if man is too scared to move. There's a whole bunch of, I don't want to give to God. I'm going to hold my money and be selfish. I'm going to hold my time and be selfish. No, you can't outgive God. When you give to the poor, remember what Proverbs says? God himself. You're lending to the Lord, and God himself will pay you back. You know how good God pays back his bills? Really good. This is the beginning. This is the day of Pentecost. And then it says, and daily, in every house, they cease not to teach and preach the gospel. Well, here we go. And let's read about, I like this because this is the first miracle of the New Testament. I mean, not the New Testament. The first miracle of the early church right here. These guys are doing their best to be found living like Jesus. And we're going to see it right here in Acts chapter 3. Because it's a pretty cool deal. Here we go, Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And a certain man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order that he might beg alms of those who entered into the temple. In those days, people had to be taken care of. They didn't take them to Walmart parking lot. They took them to the temple. But we're going to the temple to worship God. Verse 3, and when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began to ask them to receive alms. And Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze upon him and said, look at us. He began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Peter said, I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Now, folks, look at what Peter said here. Read your Bible. Don't read your church manual. Read your Bible. When you study this text, it wasn't Peter saying that they were broke. Peter's saying, silver and gold ain't going to do you any good here, buddy. I got something that's going to radically change your life. Radically change your life. And then he didn't, when Peter prayed, I want you to notice, he didn't say, oh, Lord, would you please? Look at what he did. Peter said, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, walk. Seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up. Immediately his feet and ankles were strengthened. And with a leap, he stood upright and began to walk. He entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God. How many of them? All the people. And they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement in what had happened. While he was clinging to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them at the so-called portico of Solomon, full of amazement. When Peter saw this, he replied to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Why do you gaze at us as if it's by our power or our holiness we made him walk? God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, the one whom you delivered up and disowned in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you disowned the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you." Peter's going right into preaching that. Peter's still got a little raw wound there of Jesus, the Christ